Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, and our next guest in the studio is Melissa Vieira. MJ, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Melissa is the founder of MJ's Pet Training Academy. What a wonderful occupation.
Yeah.
Tell our listeners a little bit about your academy and what you do.
Yep. So I opened MJ's about 5 years ago now, and we do everything from training, grooming, and enrichment. So we have classes where people come in with their dogs and learn how to train them, but we also do fun stuff like trick classes, detection dog, and we also do grooming. So people drop their dogs off and we groom them, and we groom cats as well.
Oh, wonderful. So yep. is the training, and this is probably a naive question, but is training solely dogs? Is that, can other animals actually be trained?
I've had some other animals come in. I've trained a couple pigs, which sounds really strange, but some people have pigs as pets nowadays. So yep. We've had pigs come in. I train my rabbits. They do all kinds of tricks.
Really? So every animal has the ability, obviously, with a brain, but obviously dogs are
typically... They all learn pretty much the same way, too. They just have different motivation for what makes them work.
And is it generally food that
is the food?
The treats? Yeah. If the Pavlovian theory stands across all pets?
Yep.
So how did you get into this? It sounds like a really interesting thing, and you know, always interested in hearing not only the stories of the entrepreneurship, but yeah, this is a little bit off the beaten path. Not everyone becomes a trainer and a groomer.
Yeah, so I grew up with it. I grew up showing and training dogs, and I always knew I wanted to do this. And I opened my business young. I think I was 21 or 22, and I just kind of was at that age in my life where I'm like, I have nothing to lose. So I was a risk taker, and I just went for it.
Wonderful.
It worked out.
So here you are 5 years later, and obviously you've done something right because you're still in business.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Over the first year is one of the hardest.
Yeah.
3, 5, all those thresholds are always difficult. But what are some of the lessons along the way that perhaps as you look back 5 years ago,
so many lessons.
What are some of the great lessons that you know, maybe some of the, I wish I knew this, you know, then what I know now, or?
Yeah, I think just learning how to always be a salesperson as well as a dog trainer has been an important lesson. So like marketing, I just kind of learn as I go. I didn't have a background in that, but I've learned a lot and I'm doing really well with it. And always when I talk to clients, if they don't want to sign up for a class or if they don't want to do something that I think would be good for them, I don't just give up. I keep contacting them and giving them different ideas, and that has really worked out.
So persistence is one of the key variables to success.
I was trying to find a nice way to say it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it also sounds, I mean, it probably is natural in terms of what you do, because persistence with training pets must be consistent, must be key too.
Exactly,
And I'm sure it's much harder to gauge than humans because they can't necessarily communicate.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, are they getting it or not getting it? It's just repetition.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, definitely.
And what is one of the most interesting things that you've done? You said pigs. How do you communicate with pigs? How do you train pigs?
They are super food motivated.
Hence the name, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or what people refer to as pigs.
Yeah. And I think just trick training I have a lot of fun with. So that's just something that we do just to give the dogs a job and work their brains. But we train them all kinds of crazy things. Like we train them to put their toys away and just get like cool tricks that you wouldn't really think of besides like, you know, paw rollover.
so rather than the fun stuff, you actually have practical applications for what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
You might have a whole new niche that you've created in terms of, you know, little dog assistants at home.
Yeah, every dog needs a job. That's what we say.
And dogs by their nature are many breeds are quote unquote working dogs. And so I think dogs' natural tendency is to try and be helpful.
Yeah,
Or active anyways.
They're social. They like to please us. They like to work generally.
And is much of your training or training within the academy happen in a group setting? Does it happen individually?
We do both. Yep. So we have group classes and private training too.
And how much, and I'm trying to be politically correct with this, how much of the training that you're doing involves really training the humans versus the pets?
A lot of it. Yeah, most of it.
Because in my experience, and again, as a dog owner, and I'm not going to throw my family under the rug here, but I know that, you know, consistency again is important.
Exactly,
I find that dogs can't differentiate between, you know, the one time up on the furniture versus the, it's okay to always be on the furniture.
Right, exactly, yeah. And so that's a tough part of the job. I mean, getting the client compliance and finding a way to communicate with people that they're going to be on board with the training and not just go home and kind of forget what we did.
Then they wonder why the dog is inconsistent or the pet is inconsistent. So it's interesting. And I would imagine, probably have another little side business that you can do is probably, you know, some sort of marital counseling.
Yeah, right.
Because people, often treat their pets differently.
People ask me that all the time. They say, can I drop my husband off? No.
No, it's really interesting. So is there it's sort of a timeline associated with things? Do people generally come to you when they acquire their pets? Is it bad behavior that motivates people?
What is it? The best time is when you first get a dog to start training right away before the problems are kind of created, because once habits are created, just like people, it's hard to change that. Mm-hmm. So new puppies, I mean, that's awesome if we get new puppies and we can start out young. But realistically, a lot of dogs, you know, they're rescue dogs, they're older. But even if you just get a dog and they're older dog, it's important to start young, or start early, I should say.
And are your programs highly structured in which, yeah, you know, somebody will join a program and it's an 8-week program, or is it depending on the needs of the particular pet?
So we do both. We have drop-in classes, which are just kind of come as you want and come for as long as you want. Some people keep training with us for years just because it's something fun to do with their dog. But then we have private lessons where each lesson has a lesson plan based off of what the owner wants to accomplish and the behavior problems we're trying to fix. And then we have like six-week classes and 4-week classes also.
Oh, wow. So yep, you're really, I mean, almost in parallel to what, you know, a school would be in for humans and really creating something like that.
Yep.
Neat. Now, is it just that cats generally are stubborn, or is it something within their, makeup that they can't?
I think they're super smart, and they just know how to, like, play us.
So cats are very difficult to train. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, but they can definitely be trained. The approach is a little bit different. I always tell people, if you're trying to train your cat, let them leave when they want. So if they want to quit the session, that's fine. Don't try to push it, because they won't want to train with you anymore if you keep forcing them to kind of interact when they don't want to.
Oh, really? So they can be really stubborn, and it's, again, part of their makeup. But you attribute it to being really smart
I think sometimes they just need to, like, give their brain a break between sessions and, like, take it all in, and then they come back and they're like, yeah, I know that.
So have you ever had you talked pigs, you talked rabbits, have you ever had like a one-off where somebody's come to you with a request for something? What's the strangest request you've ever gotten?
I don't know. I don't think I've had the strangest yet.
There's still time for that.
Yeah,
right?
There's still time.
Now, given that you're in somewhat of a rural area, do people tend to also, I don't know whether pet is the right term, but large animals? I mean, is there training involved? I mean, horses obviously are trained.
I don't personally do horses. Actually, my brother is a horse dentist, so he's really involved in the horse world.
You guys are really in the pet world in general.
That would be really cool to get into horse training at some point, but I don't think I will ever do that. I'm focused on the small animals.
And how much of your clientele, if you will, the pets that you train, how many of them come from rescues, shelters?
A lot of them. Yeah, I would say most of them probably.
Really?
And like 60-40.
It's nice to hear that, I guess, but it comes with a host of challenges, because generally you hear that dogs are given to shelters because they had some sort of behavioral issue. Yeah. And so that must be a challenge to break those habits.
It is, but it's also the most rewarding when you see that transformation. And we have people tell us we're not just changing the dog's lives, we're changing their home life. I mean, we're taking a lot of stress out of their home life. With sometimes dogs' behavioral problems can create a lot of stress at home, so it means a lot
to
us. I think we have to talk after, don't we?
It's really interesting from the perspective that, you know, because dogs obviously can have limited forms of communication, that it's incumbent upon their owners.
Yeah,
I guess you call it owners, masters, whatever you refer to them as, politically correct.
Sometimes
parents, to be really instinctive about things watch the subtle cues. You know, whether they don't eat, or whether they're, you know, stomach's upset, or their noses are dry, or those types of things. And is that something that you incorporate into your training?
Definitely. Body language is really important, and just reading off of their cues. Sometimes, like you said, it can be really subtle. Dogs do things like, if they're getting too stressed or overwhelmed, they might yawn or lick their lips or turn their head away. So we're teaching the owners how to recognize these things and what to do in those situations.
Hmm. Now, is a lot of, from my understanding, biological aspect of, and this may be too technical, but, you know, dogs can be dominant, or they can be subordinate in some sense.
Yes.
People sort of refer to them in two camps. Is that a trait that is inherent in an animal, or is that something that can be changed over time?
Well, dominance is really interesting, because it changes based on the situation. So a dog that we might consider dominant might not be dominant in different situations.
I've got one of those.
It's
really interesting, because sometimes he'll like lay back, and other times he's aggressive.
Yeah,
it's
very situational.
I guess passive aggressive.
It depends what other animals and people they're with. And some of the studies they did, like way back when, they had done with wolf packs that weren't actually family packs. So they were wolves that were put together and they weren't really related. So some of the things that they saw are more like what you would see in a pack of dogs that aren't related, that are just being put together. So it's a little different than like if they were living out in the wild on their own.
And it's really interesting to see, because I, in my own case, and I don't want to keep bringing it back, but I walked my dog off in a large I'll call it, open space.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to watch how a dog from 100 yards will approach other dogs. And right. some cases they pick it up. And is their scent that strong? Is most of it scent, or is it mostly just position of the body language, that type of stuff?
Yeah,
or are they picking up all those cues?
Dogs are just always paying attention. So they're reading the body language of the other animals and people around them. Scent is huge. Dogs are incredible with their noses. Like I said, we do the detection dog classes. And what they find is a scent on a little tiny Q-tip. And we can hide it anywhere. I mean, we can put it on the ceiling and they'll tell us where it is. So it's really cool of how they're able to do that.
And do you do those classes? Are they for law enforcement or
for pet owners, just to give their dogs jobs and work them and tire them out. And that actually decreases a lot of the behavioral problems because the dogs go home tired.
Right,
so it helps.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'd imagine the more concentration and attention a dog has to pay and repetition and things like that probably lead to them being tired too. The more they use their brains, they get tired.
Exactly.
Like people.
Yeah.
Oh, really interesting. So what's some advice, we like to give out advice here on Radio Entrepreneurs, not only from a business perspective, but for pet owners, what would you say are the most important things to think about either for new pet owners or for people that are just acquiring from a shelter? What should they be looking for and when should they call you?
Call me right away. Well, I would say always listen to your animals. They're always telling you something. So always pay attention, always reward good behaviors. So we pay attention to animals when they're like going in the garbage or doing things that we don't want them to do. Mm. And then when they're doing what we want them to do, we're like, we're not going to bother them right now. So reward the behaviors you like.
So positive reinforcement again, and stay away from the negative punishment.
Yeah,
aspects.
Let them know when they're being good and figure out creative ways to stop them from the things you don't want them to do.
So it's interesting. And, with kids, you obviously we've gotten away from corporal punishment, which is a good thing. But, same thing with animals. And I think a lot of people, their first instinct is to, spank is the right term for a dog or something like that. But when a dog misbehaves, you can't put them into a timeout in the corner, what are some of the, and not to give away tricks of the trade, but what's some of the things that you would advise somebody to do with a dog that either, messes the house or chews something they're not supposed to or, those types of things. So
the most important thing is to show them what you want to do instead. So you can't just tell a dog no without saying, okay, do this instead, because a dog doesn't know how to live in a house and be, we're trying to humanize them. So we have to really teach them the rules in a way that makes sense to them. If you don't want them digging, maybe give them something else to dig at, make like a little area in the yard where they can dig and then bring them there. That's just an example. But
so is that something that over time a dog would be able to differentiate? Because I have always thought, digging is digging. So how can a dog tell if it's okay to dig over here, over there? I mean, I look at it, with furniture, it's okay to sit on this chair, but it's not okay to sit on any of the others. How can a dog differentiate?
It's hard, but if you're really consistent with them and you are just constantly showing them what you want them to do instead, they definitely learn. They're incredibly smart.
So persistence and repetition sounds success, a recipe for success in your business, but also success with training your animals.
Yeah.
wonderful stuff. Our guest is Melissa Vieira, the founder of MJ's Pet Training Academy. And you have one location and you're on your way to two locations or you have multiple locations?
One location. I'm hoping to have two locations in the future.
So why don't you tell our listeners if they want to get in touch with you and find out how to whisper to their pets and make them successful at home, what's the best way for people to reach out to you?
MJ's Pet Training Academy, located at 132 South Main Street. And the best way to get in touch is either email or phone. I always answer my phone. So 855-465-7782.
Wonderful. It's been a real pleasure having you on and we wish you continued success. And, it sounds like you're expanding your offerings as well as you go along.
Yeah,
and,
always. There's always something new.
Looking for neat stuff to do with pets.
Yep.
It's been a pleasure having you on Radio Entrepreneurs. Our guest has been Melissa Vieira of MJ's Pet Training Academy. Wonderful to have you on.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with another segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.